Let's read together Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. In these verses, we have the healing of the blind beggar named Bartimaeus. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. Then they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you." And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Some background notes for this last portion of Mark chapter 10. In verse 46, we read that they came to Jericho. That is, they came across the Jordan River from the area of Perea, where the Lord had been for all the previous events of Mark chapter 10. And now they're entering and passing through the city of Jericho, which was located down near the Jordan River. The Lord and his disciples and a great crowd, we read in verse 46, probably Passover pilgrims on their way up to the Feast of the Passover in Jerusalem. The Lord and his disciples and this great crowd are on their way up to Jerusalem for the final week of our Lord's earthly ministry. Jerusalem is about 15 plus miles up the old Roman road from Jericho, and it's definitely uphill all the way. Jericho is more than 1,000 feet below sea level, and Jerusalem is more than 2,000 feet above sea level. So it's quite a hike from Jericho to Jerusalem, uphill all the way. Now, as they passed through Jericho for the last time, the Lord miraculously restored the sight of the blind beggar named Bartimaeus. Now, when you read the parallel accounts of this event in Matthew 20 and Luke 18, there are some significant differences. Not contradictions, but differences, and they're significant enough that we need to harmonize these accounts. This is all part of background. In the account as recorded in Matthew, there are two blind men, and the event takes place as they are leaving Jericho. In the account recorded in Luke, chapter 18, there is one blind man, he's unnamed, and the event takes place as they're entering Jericho. Here, in Mark's account, there is one blind man, and he's named Bartimaeus, and the event takes place as they're leaving Jericho. Now, how do you harmonize these accounts? You ever have a critic of the Bible ask you about this? Maybe you never realize the apparent problem that exists here. Well, it's not really a problem. The accounts can be harmonized with no problem. As to the blind men, two blind men or one blind man? There were two blind men. Two blind men were healed. Luke and Mark select to mention only one of the blind men, probably the more outspoken one, and he's the one named Bartimaeus, as we see here in Mark. Now, if Mark and Luke had said there was only one blind man healed, then we'd have a problem, okay? But Mark and Luke don't say that. There were two blind men healed, but Luke and Mark select to concentrate on the outspoken blind man, namely Bartimaeus. As to where the miracle took place, Matthew and Mark say as they're leaving Jericho. Luke says as they're entering Jericho. How do you harmonize that? Two possible ways. One is that they made their request as they're entering Jericho. The healing actually took place as they're leaving Jericho. That's one way to harmonize this. No problem. You check out all the accounts, you can see that that's maybe the way it was. However, I think the most likely way in which this took place and the way the accounts should be harmonized, and here's where background studies can be very helpful. There were actually two Jerichos. There was the Old Testament Jericho and the New Testament Jericho built by Herod the Great. Most likely, the miracle took place on the road between the two Jerichos. If you visit Jericho today, you'll find three Jerichos. There's the modern city of Jericho, and then up the road from that, there's the Old Testament tell or mound of Jericho, and then about a mile south of there, there's the New Testament Jericho, the Herodian Jericho, the Jericho that was inhabited in our Lord's day, the Jericho built by Herod the Great. As you ride into modern Jericho today, it's quite interesting because it's now maintained by a Palestinian police force. I think I mentioned already to some of you that I was in Israel last week. So I was in Jericho just last week and was in modern Jericho as well as on the tell of Old Testament Jericho and not too far away from the Herodian or New Testament Jericho. But it's interesting, things are changing over there. Jericho is maintained by a Palestinian police force now. Some have said these policemen are nothing but terrorists dressed up in uniform. But as one of our tourists said, well, they look like policemen anywhere. Coffee and donuts. Well, as you ride out of modern Jericho toward Jerusalem, you pass Old Testament Jericho, the tell or mound of Old Testament Jericho. Old Testament Jericho was probably not inhabited during our Lord's time. But still in the minds of the Hebrew writers, Matthew and Mark, that was Jericho. And so as far as they're concerned, the miracle took place as they're leaving Jericho. But now as you follow the old Roman road toward Jerusalem, about a mile away, you pass through the ruins of New Testament or Herodian Jericho, where there's a lot of archaeological work being done today, by the way. This was the inhabited city of Jericho during our Lord's time. And most likely Luke, the Gentile writer, remember he was not one of the apostles, he did not walk with the Lord and so forth. Most likely Luke, the Gentile writer, was referring to this Jericho. And so the miracle took place as they were entering Jericho. You all follow that? There's no problem with harmonizing these accounts. There's no contradictions in the Bible. So don't let any critic get at you and say, oh, did you know there's mistakes in the Bible, contradictions in the Bible? Sometimes your background studies will help you greatly in harmonizing these apparent discrepancies in Scripture. Now, what about doctrinal points or teaching points from this event in the last part of Mark chapter 10? Doctrinal point number one, the Lord Jesus always honors the request of faith. The Lord Jesus always honors the request of faith. In verse 51, we see that the Lord said, "What do you want me to do for you?" Now, we've seen the Lord say that before in Mark chapter 10. We saw in verse 36, the Lord Jesus said to James and John, "What do you want me to do for you?" And then they made a very selfish and ambitious request that they might sit on the right hand and left hand of the Lord when he would come in his glory. They wanted to have top rank in the kingdom. In the case of James and John, when the Lord said, "What do you want me to do for you?" they made a request, but it was denied. In the case of blind Bartimaeus, the Lord said the same thing, "What do you want me to do for you?" And his request is granted. What's the difference? When James and John made their request, it was not a request of faith. It was a selfish and ambitious request, certainly not based on faith. When Bartimaeus is asked the same question, "What do you want me to do for you?" he makes a request in faith. You see, when blind Bartimaeus cried out in verse 48, "Son of David, have mercy on me." This is evidence of Bartimaeus' great faith. Son of David was a messianic title. Blind Bartimaeus, unlike so many in the crowd, recognized Jesus as the Messiah, as the Christ. So when blind Bartimaeus makes his request, it is filled with faith and it is honored. The Lord said to him in verse 52, "Go your way, your faith has made you well, has made you whole, has healed you," literally, has saved you. Blind Bartimaeus received more than his physical eyesight. He received his spiritual sight as well. The Lord Jesus always honors the request of faith. Remember, the request of faith will be centered in God's will. Because the greater the faith, the greater the sensitivity to God's will. Suppose I had cancer and I requested healing. Is that a selfish request or a request of faith? Well, I may not know right away. But as I analyze my motives before the Lord and continue to walk in faith and continue to pray for God's will, I'll begin to be more sensitive to God's will. My request of faith may continue to be for healing. But on the other hand, it may change to, Lord, may I glorify you in my sufferings, as I may sense more and more by faith that the Lord's will is not for me to be healed. The Lord always honors the request of faith because the request of faith is centered in God's will. Doctrinal point number two. Discipleship means following Christ up to Jerusalem. Discipleship means following Christ up to Jerusalem. In Bartimaeus, we have a great picture of salvation and discipleship. Before he met Christ, Bartimaeus was going nowhere, sitting beside the road as a blind beggar down in Jericho. What a picture of us before salvation. Spiritually blind, spiritually hungry as beggars, sitting around going nowhere. But then Bartimaeus meets the Lord. What a change. He now can see. He's no longer begging and going nowhere, but he's following the Lord up to Jerusalem. Going up to Jerusalem was not easy. Remember we said, uphill all the way. And suffering certainly lay ahead for the Lord and his followers there in Jerusalem. What a picture of salvation and discipleship. Discipleship means following Christ up to Jerusalem. Are you willing to be a disciple? Practical application. Don't let the crowd keep you from Christ. Don't let the crowd keep you from Christ. Look at verse 48. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. The crowd told Bartimaeus, be quiet, shut up. Why? Why did the crowd say this? Well, maybe some of the crowd were offended by the title Son of David. Maybe some of the crowd just didn't like the disruption of this man crying out. In any case, Bartimaeus was not turned off by the crowd. He was persistent. And it was a good thing, too, because this was the last time the Lord would pass through Jericho. Suppose Bartimaeus had been silenced by the crowd. Suppose he felt embarrassed. He never would have received his sight and salvation. You know, this is great application for us. Don't let the crowd keep you from Christ. Is it possible that you're here this morning and up until this point, you've let the crowd dictate your life? Oh, you go to church. But that's what a lot of the crowd does on Sunday. What about the rest of the week? You just flow along with a crowd at work or on the I see some college students here or on the college campus or in your neighborhood. Don't let the crowd keep you from Christ. You know, this not only applies to coming to Christ for salvation, it also applies to following Christ. Don't let the crowd keep you from Christ.